I feel like I've spent half my life being told I'm too much and the other half being told I'm not enough. I'm too fat, my hair too frizzy, my eyes too short-sighted, my emotions too spiky and big to fit in the little box that women are allowed to fill up before they overspill those bounds, and now suddenly they're crazy or obsessive or bitchy. I was too loud. I was too loud talking about my obsessions, Greek myths, British sci-fi, the latest indie band. And I was told to, shh, please, please don't wake the baby. I wanted too much. I wanted what everyone else in the world seemed to hold so easily in their hands and take for granted. I wanted crisp, pristine dresses from the cool shops and a size 6 and A-stars and mats and a cool boyfriend to hold hands with in the corridors. How juvenile. I know. And of course, I mean, those desires, they shifted as I grew up. I use that term so loosely because I still felt like I was a little girl locked up inside my head. But I did. I aged. And so it changed. Expensive makeup. I wanted that. I wanted to wear it, and then I wanted to scrub it off with water and stinging soap in the bathroom of the Asda before I went home because I was afraid what my dad would say when he looked at me. And so I tried something different, something he couldn't understand. I wanted mirrored wardrobes and carpets I could sink my toes into like my friends had. I wanted to invite people to my house, not having to dread the questions like, what does your dad do for a living? Or what's your favourite place you've been on holiday? And I know they tried. I know my parents tried. But I spent my childhood living in my head, yearning for a world outside my grasp, because I never got top marks. Being called on in class felt like I was being ripped open. All the stuff inside me ripped out for everyone to look at and dig their fingers through, like an autopsy. When I said the wrong thing, I felt like my nerves travelled from deep inside me to the very surface of my skin. And if someone looked too hard, they could see them. And they were electrified with panic. If I did say the wrong thing, what would they think of me? What would they say? What would they do? Just didn't want to be seen. But school shifted into sixth form. I met people who didn't laugh at me. I know, novel concept. And they didn't throw harsh words at me when I said something dumb. They complimented my hair when it was unmanageable. And my outdated clothes from charity shops that didn't match and probably had holes in them. Mrs. Bates. Yeah, nothing like her namesake. And she thought she was going to get me to the top university. She assured me when I got there, that's where I would meet my husband. That's the perfect life she had envisioned for all of her top girls. But yeah, still, I felt too much. There was one assignment, and she said she had to mark me down because if I got too high a mark, it would be looked at too closely by the exam board. You know, external markers. Got to get around it. And there was other things as well, more secret, painful things like the charity money for the school trip that went missing in my house that my dad went crazy over when I questioned him about it, crying in the bus station, not wanting to go home at the end of the night after a meal. Side note, I'd never been to a restaurant until I went with my friends when I was, what, 16? Yeah. I didn't want it to end. Of course I didn't want it to end. Sitting up all night reading by the light of my phone just because I couldn't sleep. But I got a taste of it. I got a taste of what I could have. And all of a sudden, it was like a dam opened all at once. And, you know, maybe I could have the stuff I want. Maybe I could be the perfect girl who got all that stuff. When I packed up and I moved away to my second place university, wasn't Mrs. Bates' fault, it was my own fault. And yeah, I was disappointed in myself, but I was also determined that a slight diversion from this path that I was now on, that I could now envision so easily, the end was in sight. But yeah, slight diversion, it wouldn't stop it. I was determined. So, for the next year, when I was there at that new university, I ate as much as a toddler. I did sit-ups in my tiny room in halls. I mean, my body and everything I had to say is small and humble enough to fit into that box that box that women are allocated, that they are allowed. I had to stay small enough to fit in there. I changed the way I dressed, and the new clothes clung to my body, and I felt like I'd shed the skin of the old me. And here I was, shiny new in the sunshine. Boys looked at me now. I was getting two ones. And, you know, the odd first, despite not being able to keep up with the reading. Despite the fact that everyone else I lived with went to private school, and they all talked like this. And I obviously do not. I didn't talk like that, but I also didn't say, give us that anymore. I molded the shape of my vowels. Visited home so little one year, my parents reported me as a missing person. But it still wasn't enough. The boyfriend I held hands with in the corridors told me all about the beautiful women he wanted me to look like. And his words echoed in my head when I caught myself in the mirror, wearing another outfit that I wouldn't have wanted to wear, you know, when I was that girl before I started on this quest. I pretended it didn't mean anything and I left it off, but of course it did. It ate away at me. It ate away at me that I'd changed everything about myself, and it still wasn't enough. I slept all day, drank coffee all night, 24 hours in the library because I didn't have a laptop to write on. Not that I'd done the reading to make that writing, you know, particularly insightful, but still, I couldn't do it. There was that time I handed in an essay 2 days late because I'd spent Easter break cocooned in an empty Erie student house in the forest, jumping in every creek and bang. My hair thinned and I looked like a skeleton. Rita, she dropped out. And it's been six years? And it's still hard. It's still hard to find my voice, to talk about my passions, to not cringe at the sound of my vowels, which, you know, do stick out even at Durham University in the Northeast, to express my needs without apologising, to show up to uni every day feeling too old, too weird, too different. But I did go back. And maybe I am too much, but I'll never make myself less for someone else again, the world again.